what God hath cleansed. Acts chapter 10. I believe we're all pretty familiar with this account of Acts chapter 10. It said there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. I like that, the Italian band. The Italians. In the King James Bible, the Italians, okay? Sorry, not the Armenians or the Greeks, although they're very similar, the Italians. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. That's similar to what we just read. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Peter, in a trance, sees a great sheet let down from heaven, filled with all manner of four-footed beasts. And he declares, I can't eat this. Because I've never eaten what's common or unclean. That doesn't sound like our service in Nehemiah as such. And I would say, and such were some of you and me, including at this hour Cornelius, you see, of the Italian band. And I believe this one chapter, starting right here, is the opening to our way of life. Acts chapter 10. Because up until Acts chapter 10, it's a Jew book, pretty much. It's all about the Jews, God's people, the Jews. And then he picks an Italian. In Acts chapter 10. In a sense, our Bible starts right here. Okay, now we're in on the deal. You see? And I took the pages and I took the number of pages in my good Bible, and from here on it's about 10% of the whole book. Almost exactly. 90% Jew, 10% Gentile. So I looked at it as the tithe. What are we going to get? The Gentile, you see. Anyway, I'm very grateful to be included. There had to be a dog in that sheet somewhere, and I'm glad it was me, you might say. The most important point here, what God hath cleansed, what God hath cleansed, not man. And we've been preaching similar along that line for the past few weeks. And a very simple verse strikes me about that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 11, it said, And the priests sprinkled the blood when they were rebuilding the temple. The priests sprinkled the blood from their hands. So they actually had their hands in blood, if you've ever killed an animal, in blood, and they sprinkled the blood from their hand. We're trying, we kill an animal and we're trying to get the blood off of our hands. They're trying to get it onto the people. They sprinkle the blood from their hands. Anyway, you know what the blood is? What is the blood? It's a life. Blood is the life of the body. Abel's blood, he cried to God from the ground. It was his life. His life is crying to God, his blood. Probably not according to MacArthur, but I don't know. That's another sermon. And Jesus said, except you drink his blood, you have no what? Life in you. Except you drink his blood. You see, his blood, Jesus becomes our life. I once, after a horrific accident, I received 8 units of blood. Almost my entire amount to save my life. They gave me life. They had to put some life in me. I was, for all practical purposes, dead. You see, it's the blood. And we're talking about what God has cleansed. And God cleanses not without blood, without the shedding of blood. It's always been the blood. And if you've been cleansed, then you've been washed in the blood. And I can't iterate that enough. If you've been cleansed, you've been washed in the blood. And if you've not been washed in the blood, then you've not been cleansed. Now hear me. There's something different about those who have been washed in the blood. Very, very different. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. And if they haven't, they're none of his. And I've encountered so very many religious folks whom I've had no witness of the blood, no witness of the regeneration, no witness of the new birth. They get right to a point, perhaps even a great place of respect in the Word of God. They may even have great ministries. But they, like the pilgrim, they missed a gate somewhere. They missed something. How did you get in here? Have you been washed in the blood? You see, they missed the crucifixion. They missed the blood. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, that's not just for Paul. You can't miss that blood. If I spoke of some of these, I don't think you'd believe me. I could ask the question like we used to sing, were you there? I love this song, and it had to be written by a man that knew of what we're speaking. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? That song can't mean a whole lot to very many people. And I can say with assurance it causes me to tremble. Now we read that Cornelius, he saw in a vision. And Peter, he was in a trance. And all the Baptists just fell out of the pews. They're all in a trance now because they've all fainted. Visions and trances. And very few can receive such. This fellow that we listen to sometimes after service on Sundays, Mark Driscoll, this preacher, he speaks in that language. It's the first thing I noticed about him. God told me this, and I received this word from God, and I've used that language because it's the truth. It's not something you make up. It's something that's real. But you see, he's rough, and they think he's rough and unclean because he doesn't dress like everybody else. He doesn't talk like everybody else. And yet I hear the blood in his testimony. I can hear the blood. Like God heard the blood of Abel, I can hear the blood in his testimony. And I've very seldom heard such with those of suit and tie. I'm being very serious. Those that dress the part and speak the words. Because you can be taught that, you see. But you can't teach yourself visions and trances and blood washing. The blood cleanses. But not that which God, which man teaches. They teach a cleansing, a counterfeit cleansing. That's all symbolic. A symbolic cleansing. But the Bible says what God hath cleansed. Did God cleanse you? You see, that's the difference. Sir, did God cleanse you? I know men that the church, the religious, they wouldn't give a second thought to. Sort of like our Lord, they'd pass right by him. Like a root out of dry ground. But they're washed. And almost the instant that they come into my presence, I know. They're washed. They're clean through the blood. Not clean through man. Not by man's standards. They're clean through the blood. It's not so very hard to see in whose flesh and blood they've partaken. In whose blood they've been washed. It was a message on the blood that first brought me to Christ. Not converted. Professed. But a message on the blood that first brought me to Christ. I made profession, but certainly didn't get washed. Washing of regeneration is a much more bloody affair than that which can be offered by the local church. Now you've got to hear me. I witnessed such once in the tabernacle. Prior to ever speaking a word, I hadn't begun to speak. Bang! Right there in the back of the church. You're dead. Blood everywhere. Did you see it? I did. We had some in our midst that didn't see it. And it caused great turmoil. They didn't see the blood. And the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands. Yep. We got him. But did they get you? Without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. Not symbolic. Christ never shed symbolic blood. No remission. Hebrews 9:22. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Read it very, very carefully. Let's go to it. Hebrews, turn over a few pages if you're still in the book of Acts. And now look at it. And almost all things are by law. Almost. I've got a book called Almost Saved, written years and years ago, centuries ago. And almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. but not all. That's 90%, I'd say, in religion today, right there. You want law? It'll almost save you. Did y'all know that? The law will almost save you. It almost will. That's what God said right there. You can almost get saved by the law. You have to kill some animals. You have to get some animal blood on you. You see? But not all. Almost. You remember when Paul was before Agrippa and Festus and forget the other one. Almost thou persuadest me. Almost. I've seen so many people almost get saved, especially when I was at the roll-off homes. Preached out there and saw hundreds, if not thousands, of men come through the program. But it was all by law. And they almost all got saved. But the Bible says that Christ entered in once, just one time, into the holy place. Moses with the law, he took this blood and he sprinkled the book and he sprinkled all the people. Pretty bloody church service, wouldn't you think? You see? But what happened? And this is the key. Their sin remained. Oh, got to do it again. Almost. We almost got there. How many times they almost get to the promised land? How many times they almost make it? How many times almost? Almost. Almost. Almost thou persuadest me. Almost. Oh, got to sprinkle them again. You see, by law, almost. By law, almost. But it says, but Christ with a better sacrifice. Amen. Better entered in once. To what? Look at verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, one time, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin. By the sacrifice of himself. One time. What did he put away? Sin. Sin. Don't preach that. Why? You cannot, sir. Unless your sins are washed. Unless you've been washed in this precious blood. But I'm still flesh, preacher. Yeah, but you're not in the flesh, Romans 8:9. If so be, says my Bible, dead to sin, says my Bible. Symbolic, say the preachers. Symbolic. Symbolic blood, symbolic remission. Symbolic church services. They have symbolic Bibles. Figurative talk. Like the blood that most claim to have been washed in. He said, what God hath cleansed. In our text. What God hath cleansed. Did he? Examine your own self. Were you there? I would leave you with, when you consider what God has cleansed, consider thyself. What God has cleansed. If I'd done this, I'd have fallen off the Not to speak lightly of the gospel train long ago. They'd have kicked me off the gospel train long ago. And they did once. I wasn't washed. Almost. Boy, I got right there.
But that Roman 8 gun didn't go off. Bam! I didn't fire it. I don't have that power. But I've seen it fired. I've seen it. Have you ever seen one washed? Have you ever experienced it? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. What God has cleansed.